Thank you for tuning in. We'll get to your program right after this short word from our sponsors.
Do you wake up feeling like your best days have passed you by? Omega-3s are essential to the health of your body and cells. Scientists say an imbalance in the omega-3-6 ratio is a major cause of many illnesses. You need testing to know how healthy your cells are. Without testing, you're only guessing. Test yourself at home and start feeling better today. Find out how by calling Rick Kroll at 305-933-4219. Welcome to the Home Business Success Show. Join us as we speak to home business entrepreneurs for tips, tricks, do's, and even don'ts for running a successful home business. Welcome, everyone. I'm Hank Eater, also known as Hank the PR Guy, host of the Home Business Success Show, and you're listening to BizRadio.us. All entrepreneurs, all the time. We'll be joining my guest right after my 2 cents marketing minute. Something I hear a lot from home business entrepreneurs is that they don't like selling or that it makes them uncomfortable. The stark reality is if you can't sell yourself and what you do, your days as an entrepreneur are numbered. And soon you'll be going back to a 9-to-5 corporate job. The key is to build confidence in your skills, know your customers' needs, and offer genuine solutions. Find your unique value proposition, embrace it, and offer it clearly and confidently to potential customers. Our guest today, Harry Speight, is a renowned sales consultant, author of Selling with Dignity, and keynote speaker who is dedicated to revolutionizing the way sales are done. Unlike many sales experts who prioritize pushy tactics and aggressive strategies, Harry takes a unique approach that emphasizes building genuine relationships with customers and prioritizing their needs above all else. Harry is also the host of Sales Made Easy podcast on Apple and all of your favorite channels. Welcome to the show, Harry.
Hank Eater, it's great to be here. What's a good word, my friend?
Oh, it's all good. It's all good. As ODB used to say, it's all good. If you would, let's begin by telling us what it is that you do.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on your awesome show. And what I do to serve humanity is I help the small business owner and creatives to grow their business through sales, without the pushy, slimy sales tactics of the always be closing mentality that is so prevalent today.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on. One of my pet peeves, before I get into some more questions, one of my pet peeves is when somebody asks to link, they ask to hook up with me on LinkedIn, and I agree, and like they have some kind of a bot hooked up to the account, and seconds later, they're trying to sell me something before I even really know who they are.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I think that's a sleazy sales tactic.
Definitely.
Okay, well, you've got a book that's called Selling with Dignity. What does that expression mean to you, selling with dignity?
Yes, selling with dignity is really about three different things. So first of all, it's about having dignity for the person who is the prospect or the client, treating them with dignity, not a little bit differently from the pitching or connect and pitch that is so often, as you mentioned, on LinkedIn. So it's treating the person with dignity. It's having dignity for the craft of sales, that sales is not something that you could just wing, but you really need to study it and become better at it and view it as a craft. And then the third thing is having dignity for yourself is that you're not compromising values in order to get the sale. So it's really those three areas that the book covers.
I see. Yeah. I have a friend who's done very well for himself over the years. I've known him since my college days. And he likes to say that he could sell a rat's behind to a blind man and call it a wedding ring. And I guess because of his persuasiveness, he's been very, very successful. But at the same time, I was never able to operate that way. It always had to come from a place of authenticity And I had to believe in what I was actually asking someone else to accept. Otherwise, you know, I would be compromising too much of myself to be able to do it.
Yeah, which, totally.
Yeah. Why did you decide to write Selling with Dignity?
Well, going back to what you just described, Hank, is not everyone is cut out to try to sell ice to people who live in the North Pole or whatever the expression is that we can't use anymore. But it's this pushy, guilty, you know, always be closing thing is not for everybody. So I built a career in sales and sales leadership, really coming from a place of service. So as I learned this, I mean, I understand what serving people meant. I didn't realize I could do it in sales right from the beginning. But once I figured out I could serve people and that would be my differentiator versus all the other salesy people out there always trying to close, always talking about their product, their service, is finding out that you can succeed in sales and in business by treating the other person like you want to be treated in life, right? Some wise man said this thousands of years ago, and folks, it works in business. And I've done this, sold millions of dollars worth of technology, led sales teams that have sold hundreds of millions of dollars over the years. And it's this servant mindset, right? Doing what's right for the client. And so since there are so many people in the world that have businesses that are not pushy, I felt like I could help those people because I'm one of them and share what I've learned over the years to help them to grow their sales without that gross feeling that is so common.
I see that there's a difference here in the service-oriented approach, and I think that's what makes not only your expression, Selling with Dignity, that's probably the differentiator for your book, that it's teaching people to take this service approach. And before I continue, I want to point out that I have a friend, Blaine Greenfield, who's a long time, he's a lifelong marketer, and mm-hmm. he speaks of something called the Platinum Rule. We yep. all know the golden rule, do unto others, you know, or treat others the way you would like to be treated. Whereas the Platinum Rule says treat others the way they want to be treated. And I think putting that together with the service that we can do them through the sales of whatever it is we're representing, I think it's like a 1-2 punch, so to speak. It's a winning combination.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really good.
So what are some of the challenges entrepreneurs and salespeople face when they're trying to make sales?
Yeah, I think a top of mind challenge these days is that you have a conversation with somebody, they show interest, and then you can't get back in touch with them. And this is where I can think, I don't know if you're a fan of Seinfeld, but there was an episode years ago where George, the character Constanza in Seinfeld, had a girlfriend. She didn't return his call. And he broke into the apartment he left some nasty gram message, got all frustrated. Then he'd break into the apartment and steal the voice message that he left or something along those lines. And it just typifies what happens in sales is that somebody shows interest, they disappear because it's not a top priority for them. And then the person who's selling gets frustrated. Well, why are you disappearing? Why are you ghosting me? You know, what happened? I thought you were interested. And these thoughts come up in our mind. And as they appear in our mind, they also start showing outwardly. Even though we think we're hiding it, it's, you know, our frustration levels can show up in sales when we meet the person again. And it's just people get busy. So we have to understand that we're bombarded by so many things in life. People can genuinely be interested, but 8,000 other things are coming across their plate in the same time frame, and they get distracted. And it's just, we just have to be patient until they resurface again with outreach, respectful emails, comments on social media, you know, seeing them out in the community. There's no silver bullet, Hank, as you know, but giving up and being frustrated because someone ghosts us, if we get that way, we're going to give up very quickly. And that's just not the way to be. It's all about persistence and staying positive through this whole process.
Another approach I've seen to that is something that somebody we've both worked with on a mentorship level, he tells us, and I'm speaking of Sajjad Hussain, he tells us that whenever you can, well, he says all the time, if you can, close on that first meeting because, you know, they things are going to happen. They're interested. They like it. And then they drive home and they get into a fender bender, or they get home and their refrigerator is broken, or, you know, one of the kids has to have stitches or something, and then they forget all about it. So he says, when you can, close on that first meeting. And, you know, a lot of times you can, other times you can't. So, yeah, there's something I think to be said on both sides of that.
Yeah, absolutely. When there's opportunity, and I think where a lot of people try to close is when the person is not ready to do anything. So there is awareness. So sometimes people are just meeting someone for the first time and they become aware and they say something like, that sounds interesting, does not mean they're in the market. Whereas others will say, wow, you do web development, or you're helping with social media, or whatever it is that someone does, and they say, I need that. That's a little bit different of raising their hand versus just becoming aware for the first time, which I think a lot of people get confused with that because they think of the always be closing mindset and they're having a conversation for the first time with someone who is unaware of what the problem even is. And then they try to close and then it just comes across as needy. And that's what we have to be careful about.
Yeah, I guess we have to use our intuition to know which situation we're in.
Experience definitely helps. Absolutely. Oh, yes. Yeah.
How can people who feel they're not cut out for sales, what can they do to make themselves better, to improve and to succeed?
Yeah. And I think that's the majority of people who are starting a business that don't have any sales experience. They will do things. I don't know if it's the majority, but it's a high percentage. They'll say things like, I'm really good at my business. I'm just not good at sales, or I'm not cut out for sales. And so they make an excuse, and I get why, because it's difficult to transition. They probably are saying they just don't want to be viewed as a salesperson or someone that's salesy or someone that's needy. So that statement is somewhat of a protection. But like you mentioned earlier, if you don't have sales, you don't have a business, right? It's a hobby. So for those types of people, think about how you can serve the person, just like a server in a fine dining restaurant. Most people love that type of treatment. And at the end, when the server provides the check and we provide a tip, are we thinking that that server throughout that whole experience is in sales? And most people will say no, right? They're just serving, they're servers. But the restaurant recognizes, the owners of the restaurant recognize that the better servers, the ones that drive more revenue, will get the better tables. So they are driving revenue and they'll be asking questions. Would you like to take a look at the wine list? Or we have some incredible specials, or we've got some amazing desserts. And then you have others who will say things like, well, you're probably already full and you don't want dessert. Or, and, you know, you want to hear about our specials? Like, there's nothing great. So those types of people are not going to generate the revenue as the ones that greet the guest and the opportunity with enthusiasm and excitement and passion for what they're doing, right? So that will help generate the difference or see the difference in sales from each person. What's your thought on that?
Well, sure. And just as the owner has these representatives, he's got these emissaries, the waiters, to go out and make those sales. And the better ones, like you say, are the ones who put service above all else and come on with a positive attitude. Maybe one of the answers for business owners who absolutely can't deal with sales or don't want to deal with sales is, as soon as they're able, to find somebody to handle the sales aspect of it, to outsource the sales, or to hire, you know, a salesperson or a commissioned salesperson. There's always a solution. I mean, people can be trained, they can be taught, they can improve their sales skills, but sometimes, you know, that's really not what they want to or feel that they need to be doing. So that, I think, is when it's time for outsourcing.
Yeah, and I'm not saying anything against it. I will say, though, is be prepared to spend money on that. There's a couple of things that go wrong with a commission-only salesperson. If there's not, somebody has to close the business. Someone has to bring it to a completion. When I say close, I don't mean hard close. I mean bring it to the end game, right? That can get costly with a salesperson. And if the salesperson is commission-only and doesn't have the experience and just says, well, I've sold, most business owners don't really know how to hire a salesperson. So a person passes the litmus test. They said they've sold before, and then they're not generating revenue. So you're missing out on opportunities. And someone will say, well, what do I have to lose? Because that person is not getting paid. Well, there's tons of aggravation. There's mindset issues going on. There's frustration going on. And you don't know what that person is saying to others about your business that could also jeopardize the way you are viewed in the community if you're dealing with someone who is less than scrupulous in sales, which shockingly still happens, but you get the idea. So there's a lot of caution. And when you're interviewing someone, if you're thinking you want to go that route, I would have some conversations with fellow business owners to see what they've tried and help you through that process.
Right. Well, I think that perhaps maybe the other side of the coin would be that the business owner then either hires or outsources other functions of his business that are taking up his or her time and sharpens his or her skills in making the deals. Because, one of the biggest problems is, and I've dealt with that for years, and it took me a long time to come to see it, is that old idea of working in the business instead of on the business because you can't do all those things. So it seems to me that maybe the role of the owner is more to bring in the revenue and make sure everything is flowing smoothly and have the team that does all these other tasks that the owner thinks he or she is bound to.
Right. I mean, that generally works. And a lot of people recommend that because you're outsourcing the $20 an hour work and you're doing the, you know, $100 or $200 an hour work. When you outsource that, it's not easy to find those types of people who aren't already making the $100 to $200 an hour in their sales. And if that's what you want, they're few and far between to choose from. And so it's easier for you to become that person, like you mentioned, with some coaching and training, some masterminds, and you outsource the mundane so that you have more time to meet people and have conversations and improve those skills.
Very cool. You know, it's amazing how fast time goes by. And in the time we have left, I want to ask you this. You offer sales coaching and masterminds, don't you?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So it's really all about doing the stuff that you need to do to grow your business. A lot of people are just talking about it and they say, I know I need to do that. I really am holding people accountable so they actually do what they know they need to do. And once you do the stuff, once you get out and you network and you're involved in the community, you're having conversations with people, then we can talk about what are those conversations like? What's happening versus I know I need to do it, right? There's no improvement by saying I know I need to do it. It's the doing that matters. And when you're having those conversations, then we can dissect what's actually taking place and look at ways we can make it better. So that's really the key, whether it be individual or with group.
Right. So your coaching can be individual and it can be with groups.
Yeah.
Tell us what one of your groups looks like, for example.
Yeah. A group would be four or five people of people who want to grow their sales, and each meeting, we meet once a week. We have a little training topic, which I'll bring up, whether it be about listening or asking business related questions. And then we go around the room, everyone gets 15 minutes or so, and they talk about a challenge. And then we, you know, work together. I will provide some insight as to what I've learned, but others will have insight as well, because I certainly don't have all the answers. And there's no silver bullet, right? It's just, you know, sometimes we jump the gun too early. We start pitching or trying to sell before we realize the person hasn't really expressed what their challenge is. And we go too early and we're missing out on really opportunities there to separate ourselves and dig deeper and build more trust. And this is a huge problem. People jump too early to sell. They see a need and they jump right into, I can handle that. And you really need to slow it down some in a higher ticket item.
So then your ideal customer for both your individual coaching and your group coaching would be basically the people we've been talking about, the business owner that needs to up their game and get a handle on sales and do it in a way that feels authentic and genuine and makes them feel fulfilled rather than making them feel sleazy.
Exactly. Yeah. You nailed it. Well, and where they can see results, right? Because this stuff works very quickly, because if you're already having conversations with people, you now can go back and provide value, have another conversation, dig deeper, and we'll show you how to do that so you can dig deeper and slow it down a little bit.
Okay, we've actually run out of time. The last thing I want to ask you is tell our listeners the best way to get in touch with you if they want to know more about your coaching or if they're interested in your book. What's the best way to reach you?
Yeah, the best way is sellingwithdignity.com is my website. And on there, you can download under the book section, you can download a few chapters of the book. Or if you just want to have a conversation, you can find me there as well. And we can have a no obligation chat and see if I can provide value for you.
Very, very cool. Well, thanks for being here with us today. And to our listeners, tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. for the Home Business Success Show right here on bizradio.us. Before I go, I want to tell you that there are some great resources available to home business owners. You are not alone in the wilderness in your home business. The Home Business Success Community has your back. We're an online membership support community of like-minded home business entrepreneurs. Contact me to find out more. Just go to bizradio.us, click on shows, find my adorable face, and then you'll get all of the contact information that you need. Remember, you can achieve success, freedom, and independence in your own home business. I've done it. Harry has done it, and you can too. I'll see you again next week. This is Hank Eater wishing all of you a fabulous day of home business success.
Thank you for listening. If you liked what you just heard, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and be sure to visit bizradio.us to find hundreds of other engaging conversations, local events, and more.